It's so almost painful to tell the truth sometimes. It's embarrassing. It's like, it hurts my body, mind, and soul to actually say the truth.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine.
Sometimes you have to go through the darkness to reach the light. That's what I did. After 12 years of recovery in sex and love addiction, I finally found my soulmate, myself. Please join me in my novel, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, a 4-time bestseller on Amazon. It's a brutal, honest, raw, gnarly ride, but hilarious at the same time. Check it out now on Amazon. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Today, I'm pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We'll hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know those deep, dark secrets you probably want to take to your grave? Are those lighter, funnier secrets that are just plain embarrassing? Really, the how, the what, the when, the where, and the why. Today, my guest is Riv. Now, Riv, I have a question for you.
Dun, dun, dun.
What is your secret? Oh my God, you're making me laugh.
I know. It's hard to, I've never said this publicly. I've like talked about it a lot, like in my, you know, in therapy and like within my like friend group and within my like close circles. But I stand here before you today, recovering, and I say recovering and not recovered because it is a process and not an event. A recovering pathological liar.
Dude, I have to say, I applaud you for saying that because I love to lie also.
It's so almost painful to tell the truth sometimes. It's embarrassing. It's like, it hurts my body, mind, and soul to actually say the truth. But yeah, I guess it's like a little... like a bump, like to tell a lie is just like the tiniest little, like no matter how big or small it is, for me at least, I feel it. Like it's like a bump.
Like a little snort, a little like sip.
Right. And it's like, I don't do any drugs. I don't drink. I've been sober from all of that for like 4 years. And so lying is really all I have or had. But, you know, again, it's just like, even that doesn't feel as, you know, feel good. you know, the longer I am like sober from like substances and like other like obsessive compulsive behaviors with like food and with dating and with sex and whatever, like, and money and spending and all that, like
all of it, it's all of it, right? Like you take one away, it kind of even goes a little bit like, oh, I'll eat so much of that cake. Oh, I'll just flirt with that person or blah, blah, blah.
It's the whack-a-mole of it all. And like, and for me, like lying was, I think, and is my first and like most powerful vice.
Escape from reality, right?
There you
when
go.
You lie, you're not in reality. Do you remember when you started lying?
Yes. So the first lie that I ever told, and I love telling this story, is when I was in the first grade, I was having a like kind of a bad day in class, and I'm a summer birthday kid. Mm-hmm. I'm a Leo. So,
You didn't get to celebrate your birthday at school. Mm-hmm. I never thought of that.
For a Leo, that is like, that is bad.
Yeah. Cause you guys love attention, don't you?
We like the lion. We love attention. We're also very loyal and like great friends, but like the attention whoreness is like kind of first thing people associate with Leo, which like, I'm not mad about because it's absolutely true. But I lied. I told the teacher, I was like, it's my birthday. And she was just like, okay. I think the teachers probably like have a log of when all the kids' birthdays are. So she probably, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is not to like point fingers and blame her for enabling me, but like she probably was like, I don't want to like embarrass this little kid. So she went along with it. And she had the teacher's aide like run out and grab cupcakes from like 7-Eleven. And we did the little class celebration, which was we'd sit in a circle. Mm-hmm. Every kid would say at least one nice thing about the kid whose birthday it was. And the teacher would like write it down on a big, big piece of paper. And then the kid would get to have it. When I was picked up by my dad, he saw me with the big piece of paper and I was just, I don't know how I thought I was going to like get out of this. Like, but he was just like, oh, what's that? And I was just like, it's nothing. And like, it literally, they unfolded it. It's like, happy birthday, Riv. Like all these like things. And he was just like, what the fuck? Like, are you fucking kidding me? You lied to your teacher. Like, and he goes absolutely off. The punishment was that I had to watch Pinocchio, like all the bad parts of it, specifically the whale part where he gets like swallowed by a whale, like all of that. And so anytime I would lie from then on out, like my dad would say, your nose is growing. And I'd cry. I'd like grab my nose and be like, no. But it didn't, I mean, that like worked, you know, short term when I was a kid, but I guess I learned like the consequence for lying pretty early. Mm-hmm. Was that you have to apologize. And like, I had to bring my teacher like a chocolate rose the next day, which is like a weird apology.
Yeah. Gift, but, like, that's so random.
Random as hell. Like, I brought the teacher. I was like, Miss Davis, I'm so sorry. Like I brought her this chocolate rose and, you know, apologize to her. I don't remember whether I had to like fess up in front of the whole class, but I definitely did to my teacher. Mm-hmm. I think my dad like spared me from having to fess up to my whole class, but we did transfer schools very shortly after that. Like I was pulled out of that school very shortly after that, because I feel like my dad like couldn't deal with the like kind of embarrassment and the shame of it. And wanted to save face, which is like a recurring theme in my family. It's hilarious because my dad would always say, lying is the worst thing you could do to a person. It's worse than murder. And like, my dad is like low key, not low key, I'll say it. Like he's high key, like maybe a bigger liar than I am. I feel like he doesn't understand that like adding little fun details to a story that didn't even happen, like is still a lie.
Yeah, it's
and
a lie.
For him, he's like, well, it's just my truth. And I'm like, but it's not the truth. Like your truth and the truth are not aligned. So it's a lie. That's what that is. And I've like now, you know, had to explain that to him many times, but I just don't think he gets it. So like, all I can do is like really just work on it within myself, which sucks because I love telling little lies. I mean, I'll give a list of some of the fucking ridiculous lies I've told people.
Oh like my God. Tell me right now. Let's put it all out there.
I told a lot of people I was in the Canadian touring cast of Les Mis when I was little, that I played Eponine, like baby Eponine, which is so, like,
which people can check up on that, you know, like you tell those lies and you're like, wait, people
none
can look
of that
up.
Is nowhere near true. I told people that when I was in high school, I told people I was from Tennessee and I did an accent. And then it kind of just went away.
You're like, know. Madonna. Didn't Madonna have an accent? All
Madonna, Lindsay Lohan did the accent thing for a while, which I thought was really funny, where she just out of nowhere kind of had this like weird mishmash of like a maybe like Arab accent or something. It was like, we were like, where did that come from? And she was just like, I've just been learning so many languages, I don't really understand. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, who is this
you're
person?
Like, damn it, I want to do that. I want to do that today. I want to have
a
weird accent.
I still sometimes will like, I will cop to this, to this day, 2022. Well, I haven't done it this year yet, but like, there have been times where I have like faked entire phone conversations in the back of a Lyft so that I don't have to talk to the Lyft driver. And I'll be on the phone just talking about literally like quinoa, nothing, like bullshit. And I'll just be like, yeah, that sounds great. You could grab like a quinoa salad and like maybe, I don't know, like 6 sweet potatoes. And like, I'll fake a full ass
conversation,
like, phone conversation, so I don't have to talk to a Lyft driver. Like, it's, or I'll have a conversation with a Lyft driver in an accent. Like it's toxic is what it is, but it's just like, I get this little like high out of it and it's so fun to me.
Yeah.
And in my mind, and this is another thing that I think I've probably adapted from my dad's like kind of behavior, is like, well, I'm never going to see that person again, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Like, or it's not hurting them. Right. Yeah, like I always thought it's not hurting them. I'm actually protecting them from myself. Like I would always think those thoughts and it's like, no, you're a fucking liar. Like, let's just.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, like I sometimes would like, when I was in middle school and high school, I would see things happen on TV shows, i.e. like Degrassi or Gossip Girl. Mm-hmm. And then I would just say those things happen to me. Like I would fudge it to make it more believable. But then at a certain point, like when I was, you know, early 20s, like I like started to do so many drugs that like I lost track of who I told what. And this is like in the height of my bottoming out, like in alcohol and drugs and like love and sex addiction and stuff. Mm-hmm. So like I was cheating. I was like telling one person I was with this person on this night, telling somebody else I wasn't. And then what starts happening is like, I involve other people in my dishonesty, like my roommates who had to pretend like they didn't see me, you know, bringing girls home when I was like in a relationship with a dude, which was like the biggest lie that I ever told anyone, was like to myself, was, you know, I'm recently, you know, coming to terms with the fact that for, I guess, 15 years, I used sex with men as a form of self-harm.
Yeah.
Like that's another secret within the secret, right? And that is like a huge lie that I was telling myself, that I was just like, no, I'm enjoying this, but I wasn't, I never was. And even if like a part of me was like getting off, like it wasn't, it was never healthy.
Yeah. It was never about intimacy. It was almost like you had the power over the other person. I feel like a lot of sexual things I didn't actually enjoy. I was lying to myself, but I felt powerful because I was tricking somebody else into believing something that wasn't real.
Yeah. And like, I was just straight up having sex, like when I didn't want to, with people I knew I didn't like, with people I knew that I didn't want to be fucking. And like, and even up until like, I mean, June of 2021, like, you know, that was the last time I slept with a dude. And I was just like, man, I can't do this anymore. Like it has to stop. This is like another layer of dishonesty. And every day, you know, in recovery, I've been like just working towards like more and more truth with a capital T. And like that kind of aha moment of like, I use sex with men as a form of escape from reality. The reality being that I am attracted to women, and sexually, emotionally, spiritually, I feel no fulfillment out of relationships with men.
Isn't that funny? Here's my question for you. When you finally let that, like the biggest lie go, right? Was letting go the little lies, or did you latch onto them and try to live like some kind of escapism?
I mean, honestly, like it unlocked a lot for me. Like, I feel like I read this, like how I came to that realization was I read this thing called the Lesbian Master Doc, or it's like, it's called Am I a Lesbian? It's a big Google Doc that has been circulating around Reddit and the internet and TikTok and all the, I don't know if you're on TikTok at all, but all the girls, all the like Gen Z girls are gay. That's just like, that's just the reality.
Oh my God, that makes me so excited. No, but you should give it to me so I can link it in the description can get it.
I will. So like the Am I a Lesbian Master Doc, like it basically like had all of these things, like, you know, did you ever like, you know, when you were in grade school, like all the girls were going around saying they who they had crushes on, and you just picked a random boy because you felt like you had to like, I'm like, to fit in. Yeah. And I mean, even down to like when the first like quote unquote boyfriend I ever had was like, I was working when I was 10 years old on a project, because that is a part of my life. And like one of the boys in the thing came up to me and was like, I like you. And I said, oh, okay, rad. And he was just like, do you want to be my girlfriend? I said, I don't know, I'll have to think about that. And then I asked my mom about it. She was just like, well, his mom and I are really good friends. And like, if you guys, you know, become boyfriend and girlfriend, like we can go on dates, the four of us. And I was just like, oh yeah, rad. That sounds great. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. Your first boyfriend was because your mom wanted to hang out with his mom.
Yeah, which is to me seems pretty fruity. I mean, on my mom's part, like I look at my mom sometimes, I'm like, you're gay. Like they're my parents are both very, very queer. Like, and like, they don't really talk about it too much, but like, it's funny how like my mom will just say things like, oh yeah, no, I've had a crush on her forever. I'm like, you realize that makes you bi, right? And she's like, no. Like all women have crushes on other women. I'm like, no,
I don't. I know. I know I'm not gay. Sometimes I wish I was because I love women and I think they're so interesting, but I don't have a gay bone in my body. Like I don't want to kiss a girl. It's just not my thing, but I wish I did.
I'm the complete opposite where it's like all I've ever wanted was, you know, to kiss a girl. And it's funny because like when I came out, like I came out as bi when I was like 16, 15. And like, I always do tell this story. Like when I came out to my family, I did it in such a way that I felt like I was going to get a like negative reaction from them when they were all just like, okay, they were so chill and nothing about it.
Right.
Like, to where I was just like, oh, I expected either like a parade to be thrown in my honor or like y'all to kick me out. And
something just dramaticness. Like we love drama. Like give me the drama, tell me I'm a piece of shit or throw me a party. Like one or the other.
Right. So that's something that would be something that I would lie about. Like, for example, like I would, you know, use like the desire to have drama around my coming out as a means to like gain either pity or like validation from like my friends at school or like people I had a crush on at school. And I told my family I was bi and they were super like awful about it. My mom like threw a Bible at me and like, that's not at all the case. Like it was often like that sucked. Like when I was like telling lies that like made my family seem like a lot worse than they are.
Yeah.
Like that was a common thing. And it was always from a place of like wanting pity, wanting connection. And now it's like, I find that the best connection that I get is from when I share my truth.
Yeah.
Like with somebody.
Do you think that you lied for so long because you were scared to tell your truth because you actually would be rejected then?
Yeah, I thought it was boring. I thought it was like I had a pretty boring life, you know, like aside from the I was a child star thing, like, which is not boring
at all. Like I'm like
every kid's dream in life is to like work in TV and film, not every kid, but a lot of the kids that I at least, you know, went to school with, like all thought it was so cool that they either were like really like excited and proud of me or like completely bullied me and were like jealous and like assholes about it.
Yeah.
I just like, I was afraid that I was not good enough, cool enough, funny enough, like exciting enough without all of the added flavor. Or the like straight up like Canadian tour of labor, like shit that fully didn't happen. Like, and the fact that like there are people in this world that still think that I did the Canadian tour of Les Mis, yeah, or people that in this world that think I am from Tennessee out there kind of just like walking about. I'm like, and I'm sure nobody's fucking thinking about me like that. Like nobody.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The other thing.
That's what I always thought when I have, I'm like, I can't go and tell them I lied. They would be so appalled. And it's like, they probably don't even remember your lie. But to us, it's like so ginormous that it's like, it's all this drama. I feel like I feel for me, lying helps me have one foot in the door and one foot out of every relationship.
1000%, 1000%. So now it's like, it is like harder than doing like deadlifts at my body weight to tell the truth. Like sometimes like, and when I had a like early in recovery, like a friend, tell me like, to stop themselves from lying, they would literally catch themselves or correct themselves if they told a lie. And I was just like, that's embarrassing as fuck. So I don't lie anymore. Like, yeah. I just told myself, this is like 4 years ago. I was like, okay, then great. So Rivka doesn't lie anymore. That's the plan now is I don't lie anymore so that I don't have to ever do that thing where I catch myself and correct myself.
I actually have had to do that. And it is so embarrassing. Like,
it's, I know I have too. It's
every part of your body, like, wants to, like, you want to unzip and get out of your skin. Cause it's so embarrassing to be like, I just told you something that wasn't true. It's the worst feeling ever.
It is. It is disgusting. And like, I hate to like unzip that. Like, yeah. I feel like I like to keep things really close to myself. Like the truth. I like to keep the truth very close to myself, which is a form of hoarding. I learned that like recently. Mm. It's a form of like emotional hoarding. And it's like a form of almost anorexia too, like where you're like keeping your truth from other people and you're like restricting yourself from like being seen, I guess, is like a form of hoarding and like emotional anorexia of sorts. But like, I really, it's such a struggle to tell the damn truth. Like it's just really hard. Like still to this day. Like,
do you remember the last time you told a lie and then had to tell the person you lied, or have you told one recently as small as?
Yeah. I mean, like little details of things where I'll be like, oh my God, there were like 40 people there. I'm like, actually it was like 8, like, you know, like it's now I've gotten it down to like where the lies aren't like as big and stupid and far-fetched or as like harmful and dangerous to other people. Like, you know, the cheating and the blatant, like non-truth, like, you know, an omission of things that I should be telling people, like that's been removed. Thank God. Like, thank therapy and thank, you know, various methods of recovery, like for that. But I mean, yeah, it'll be stupid little shit. Like, you know, yeah, it was like 8 miles and it's like, it was like 2 miles. Like, it's always like numbers. Or, you know, oh, that person owes me like 15 grand. I'm like, no, bitch, they owe you like $20. Like, chill.
Chill. Chill. Take it down a notch.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So can I ask you, if somebody's listening that's also used to be a compulsive liar like us, but we're not anymore, so there you go. But what goes in your mind to stop the lie? Like, how do you stop yourself now if someone's listening?
Well, I have like undiagnosed ADHD, which me and my friends call squiggly brain. And I work very well with like rewards and punishment. Like, this is like probably a little bit of like my like religious trauma too, kind of peppered into the squiggly brain of it all.
I love that you call it that. I have ADHD. I'm actually diagnosed with it, but I love that you're like undiagnosed and you call it squiggly brain. I'm just like, oh my God, that my brain's crazy.
Yeah, it is what it's like, just so many like wrinkles on the brain. And I really like, I feel like, you know, every day that I like create new systems for myself to A, not lie, B, like not procrastinate, and like C, not drink, use, whatever, act out, like, you know, the wrinkles get smoother and smoother and the brain gets less squiggly. Yes. But like one that works for me, I guess, is just like, wouldn't you feel so much better if you just like didn't have to like log this in your mental spreadsheet that's already like way too full? Your you know, brain tabs, there's too many open. Now you have to keep a little tab on like what you told to your partner or your friend or your coworker, like why you were late or whatever.
Yeah.
Cause like, I love to like, if I'm late, it's 90% of the time because I was like having a hard time choosing from which identical black crop top to wear. Like, like I have like 40 of the same black crop top to wear. And I'm late because I was either, you know, trying to pick an outfit or jerking off. Like, let's be real.
Like, or just, you know, yeah, just not having it together. And just instead of just, I'm sorry, I'm late because I couldn't get my shit together, but I'm here now.
Right. It's you. Oh, I had to stop and get a COVID test on the way. Or like, so, you know, I love blaming COVID when it's not at all an answer or an excuse.
Well, I have my kid now. I like to blame my kid. Oh, my kid this morning. This is
Oh, my partner. I love to point fingers at other people. And that's just like, ultimately, 99% of my own misery has been self-manufactured. So like, and I have no accountability whatsoever. So I think it's just like, honestly, the reward is that I don't have to feel the guilt, that I don't have to continue to be like a liar. And that for every lie I don't tell, I feel like that is like a step towards recovery. That is like, and every lie I tell is a step towards relapse. I mean, I live in that binary of like every action I take, every thought I take is either for or against my recovery. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just how I have to be. Because some things like that are very black and white for me. Whereas other things, like, I mean, there are things that are kind of in the gray right now for me, like food related stuff and money related stuff where I'm like, well, yeah, like, another thing was like shoplifting was a big thing for me.
I did too. Well,
that's a lie in itself.
Hey, I know we like, coming from Kookadook backgrounds. Hi, I'm a shoplifter.
I haven't shoplifted in 4 years with the exception of I was in New York for Thanksgiving. And mm-hmm. this is like, I mean, my first time seeing my family since before the pandemic and I went crazy. Like I first of all, like, you know, I definitely like felt myself lying a lot more, felt myself like saying and doing things that like, you know, I grabbed I didn't drink, but I went to a bar with an old fling, like, which is not something that I usually do, especially like while I'm in a relationship and it's like, you know,
it abort was mission, it Riv, was, abort mission, get out of there.
Yeah. You know, like it was completely like innocent and tame, but it could have not been like, it very could, much have, could not. Have not been.
Yeah.
And I like caught this dude in a lie. Like when we were hanging out, I was just like, yo, like I could be this, like, this is like a mirror to like my past behavior.
Yeah.
Some of my present behavior, like seeing him kind of like lie about who he was seeing. And I was just like, interesting. It's all information. But like, I did walk into a DSW, still a pair of pantyhose. And then I went into a different store and I felt guilty. So I went back into the DSW and put the tights back. Like,
oh, I'm so proud of you.
I know. It felt good.
Yes.
It was really, I mean, nobody saw me do it. I'm sure nobody gave a fuck, and fuck corporations. Like, they don't need my $8 for that pair of pantyhose. Like, if I'm looking at it from the like, but
it makes us sick. It makes me sick.
Yes. I am not a normal person who can just like occasionally shoplift or occasionally lie
or occasionally drink or any of that. You can't do that. Like, I can't.
It is equivalent to like the occasional, like, you know, occasionally I'll like binge a whole sleeve of Oreos. I can't do that. When people do that, I'm like, good for you. I literally can't. My girlfriend, she can drink, like she knows how to drink like responsibly, you know, and then sometimes she doesn't drink responsibly. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But like the fact that she doesn't drink irresponsibly every time she drinks, I'm like, can't relate. I don't get that.
Yeah.
Does it make me resent her? Like, no, I just have to kind of know that my truth, and this is where my truth and the truth are aligned, right? Because they are not always aligned. My truth and the truth is that like, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an addict, and yet I don't drink and I don't act out anymore. So like, I just know that that has to be the truth for me.
Yeah,
that I don't do those things. And, you know, keeping lying on my list of like, this is a relapse behavior. Like it is harsh, but I kind of have to keep it there to hold myself accountable.
And same. Like literally, yeah. I have to have no lies or secrets, or I will find myself in a matter of weeks acting out in my disease. Like I just will.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's like really, it's really wild how progressive the illness is in general. And like lies are a big part of that. I mean, like in my favorite piece of spiritual literature, which is in fact the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, right, which I've read 1,000 fucking times, like the line that I always remind myself is that untreated, I can't differentiate the true from the false, which is why that lie is so intoxicating and delicious, is because I start to believe it. Like, you know, there are definitely, and my sister has called me out on this, and some of my friends have called me out on this too. Like, they're like, there have been times when I'm like, oh, Riv believes her own lies. Like that's crazy. Like that's sociopath behavior. I'm like, I know. I get constantly reminded, like I have these little like memory, like flashbacks or like prophetic dreams, like from the past where I'm like, wow, like I really said that. I really did convince that person XYZ. And I'm like, that's not at all who I am anymore. And that's definitely not the person I want to be when I wake up tomorrow. Like, yeah. So it's unfortunate that I have to keep on like telling the truth, because it physically, my body rejects the truth sometimes because it's that powerful of a disease, right? The lying,
the secret keeping. I mean, I used to say I could pass a lie detector test. Like, I believed my own lies. And it also like mucked up my past. Like, I couldn't remember because my lies were so, there were so many of them. So
same. It's wild. I mean, yeah, it's completely the same. Like I definitely couldn't pass a lie detector test, but back then, like for sure, like I could get on a lie detector test. I'm from Tennessee. And like that thing would be completely clean. Like
I'd be like, but oh my God, now, I'm so grateful that you came on and shared this, because there is so much shame in lying and even those little lies. And I'm glad that we're on the same path where we are not leaning into that addictive behavior anymore, because it's not good for us or anybody to be lying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, when I tell the truth, I do feel like a lot lighter mm-hmm. in spirit. Like, I feel like I can like stand taller when I tell the truth. It is like literally a physical manifestation of like a level up. It almost feels like in the Pokemon game where like when you're fighting another Pokemon, or like when you give your Pokemon like a healing potion and they like level up a couple points, like that is how I feel every time I actively choose to not lie.
You get leveled up. Oh my God. I love that. Oh, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful to know you. Thank you so much for coming on Secret Life.
Thank you.
And if you want to be on the show, please email me at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Until next time. Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you'd like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.